Hi, I'm Gianna Volpe, and thank you for listening to The Heart of the East End on 88.3 WLIW-FM, the show where we get to the heart of any matter at hand with folks from all walks of life on Long Island's only local NPR radio station. We stream online at wliw.org/radio and welcome your comments, questions, and collaborations of all kinds on The Heart of the East End. Good morning. I'm Gianna Volpe on listener-supported WLIW-FM, Long Island's only local NPR radio station, on this Giving Tuesday 2021. Giving Tuesday is a global generosity movement unleashing the power of radical generosity. Giving Tuesday was created in 2012 as a simple idea, a day that encourages people to do good. Since then, it has grown into a year-round global movement that inspires hundreds of millions of people to give, collaborate, and celebrate generosity. Join the movement and give each Tuesday and every day, whether it's some of your time, a donation, or the power of your voice in your local community. It's a simple idea, whether it's making someone smile, helping a neighbor or stranger out, showing up for an issue or people we care about, or giving some of what we have to those who need our help. Every act of generosity counts, and everyone has something to give. For us, that specifically means asking our listeners to show their support by giving us a donation right now to keep a good thing growing here on the 88.3 section of the FM dial throughout Long Island and coastal Connecticut, or online at wliw.org/radio. If you can make a donation today to us, you can go online to wliwfm.org. That is the donation-specific website. It's wliwfm.org. Or you can call us at 800-262-0717. Any donation you make, no matter how small or large, is always appreciated and very important to us here. It's the model. It's the only way that it makes it work, and we're able to bring you the programming that we do here on The Heart. That includes folks from all walks of life, all throughout your listening region. This morning, we are honored with Shanae Bullock. She is the founder and CEO of Moxkitu Consulting and a citizen of the Shinnecock Nation on this, the last day of Native Heritage Month. The Tasty Tuesday at 10 segment, underwritten by Southampton Arts Center, will be guested by Rebecca Adana of Two Jews Making Food, Amy Kerwin and her show, which is now on LTV. She'll be talking Hanukkah with us ahead of the third night of Hanukkah. And we'll be starting off with Adam Sandler's The Hanukkah Song before Adam Ant's wonderful after you hopefully are making your donation to wliwfm.org or calling 800-262-0717 from the bottom of the heart of the East End. Thank you, and stay tuned.
Okay. This is a song that... There's a lot of Christmas songs out there, and not too many Hanukkah songs. So wrote a song for all those nice little Jewish kids who don't get to hear any Hanukkah songs. Here we go.
Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights.
Instead of one day of presents, we have eight
crazy nights. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree. Here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah. So do James Caan, Kirk Douglas, and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Sha-na-na and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together, what a fine looking Jew. You don't need Deck the Halls or Jingle Bell Rock, cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish. Put on your yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonicas celebrates Hanukkah. O.J. Simpson, not a Jew. But guess who is? Hall of Famer Rod Carew. He converted. We got Ann Landers and her sister, dear Abby. Harrison Ford's a quarter Jewish, not too shabby. Some people think that Ebenezer Scrooge is. Well, he's not, but guess who is? All three Stooges. So many Jews are in showbiz. Tom Cruise isn't, but I heard his agent is. Tell your friend Veronica, it's time to celebrate Hanukkah. Hope I get a harmonica on this lovely, lovely Hanukkah. So drink your gin and tonica and smoke your marijuana. If you really, really wanna go, have a happy, 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 happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah.
We know you can support any worthy organization on Giving Tuesday. Please let listener-supported 88.3 WLIWFM be on your list today with a generous donation to WLIWFM.org or by phone at 800-262-0717. Today is the day to share your appreciation for what we do for you, commercial-free, every day, 24 hours of it, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Make this the moment to give.
Your sweet kiss. Did I tell you I didn't cry? Well, I lied. Ah, la 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 la. Over, real over. When I nearly hit the face I love. So tired of packaging the anger. Pushing you away. Did I tell you you're wonderful? I miss you. Yes, I do. Did I tell you that I was wrong? I was wrong. 'Cause you're wonderful, yeah. Did I tell you how much I miss your smile? Tell you I was okay. Well, no way, no
Adam Sandler, Adam Ant, Everclear, Louis Armstrong, Sharon Jones, and the Dap Kings. Great music heard right here on WLIWFM. That just slightly scratches the surface of the artists we play for you here on WLIWFM. Music from all decades and genres. Interviews with folks from all walks of life. And it is because of you and the donations you make, especially on this Giving Tuesday. You can donate online right now. It's easy and secure. If you can make a donation of $10 a month or a single donation of $120, we will thank you with your choice of a pair of large ceramic coffee mugs or our very popular WLIWFM tote bag, and by going to WLIWFM.org or calling 800-262-0717 from the bottom of the heart of the East End. Thank you for supporting listener-supported WLIWFM.
Wonderful. 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 Wonderful now. I close my eyes when I get too sad. I think thoughts that I know are bad. Close my eyes and I count to 10. Hope it's over when I open them. I want the things that I had before, like a Star Wars poster on my bedroom door. I wish I could count to 10. Everything be wonderful again. Hope my mom and I hope my dad will figure out why they get so mad. Hear them scream, I hear them fight. They say bad words and make me wanna cry. Close my eyes when I go to bed at night. Dream adventures will make me smile. I feel better when I hear them say everything will be wonderful someday. Mama says me. I'm
I know those feels. Some real talk from Everclear. Ahead of What a Wonderful World, I'll tell you one thing that is wonderful, and that is what we do here for you every day in every way on WLIWFM, keeping you informed as well as entertained, commercial free, all day, night, year long. We do it for you because of your generous donations. Won't you consider joining your neighbor and make a donation today on Giving Tuesday? Maybe even right now to listener-supported WLIWFM. I would certainly appreciate that. WLIWFM.org is the safe and secure website to do so, or you can call 800-262-0717, just a few minutes away from our chat with Shanae Bullock of the Shinnecock Nation on the last day of Native Heritage Month, and an hour away from our conversation with Rebecca Adana from Two Jews Making Food ahead of the third night of Hanukkah. It is Giving Tuesday, and we are grateful to be bringing you the program that matters to you because of your donations to WLIWFM.org.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
We're in the midst of Hanukkah. We kicked off the music with the Hanukkah song, but we do have a Christmas song, the first of the season that I'm playing. That's World of Love, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, here on the Heart of the East End, the morning show, on listener-supported WLIW-FM.
If I had one wish for Christmas this year, there'd be no more sorrow, there'd be no pain or tears. If it was up to me, darling, I would build you a world of love. Oh, oh, oh. Listen now, we would gather round that big Christmas tree.
watch the snow fall. Don't hang some mistletoe, y'all. It's a world of love. Let me tell you something. That every man would see
what the true spirit means.
Joy. Each one, teach one. That way everybody will reach one. All the babies, every girl and boy must have a toy to play with. Oh, don't you have no worries just for this one day. Well, then maybe the whole world just might. Maybe we might find a way to make this feeling last all year round. Don't you let the children down. Listen to me now. Whether you're agnostic, Muslim, Christian, or Jew, children of the world, they're depending on you. Let me say it again. It don't matter if you're black, you're white, you're blue, you're Chinese. Everybody, we gotta get together, please. It's a world of love. We can have a world of love. All the beautiful people hanging out together. Hold a hand. Sing a song. Every woman and child and man wanna see peace.
You're listening to listener-supported WLIWFM on this Giving Tuesday. We know you can support any worthy organization on Giving Tuesday, and we're hoping that WLIWFM is on your list for today with donations to WLIWFM.org or by phone at 800-262-0714. 17. Not only do we play great music for you, but we keep you informed as well as make sure that we make space for the community on this, your listener supported community radio station. Very grateful and honored to welcome our first guest this morning. That is the founder and CEO of Moxkitu Consulting and a citizen of the Shinnecock Nation. On this, the last day of Native Heritage Month, Shanae Bullock, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much. I am wonderful. I am blessed and highly favored, and I'm really just honored to be able to be on your show during such a historical time. Not just for our people, Indigenous people, but really for all people. It seems like we've had a very amazing month.
Yeah.
And what a way to really just begin to kind of reflect on it in our conversation today.
It really is an unbelievable moment in history. So much change in such a small amount of time. Some of it, depending on your perspective, different parts of it, good, bad, ugly, beautiful, wonderful. It's really been a time for all sorts of change. I like to see, really a brighter future coming to us. I was speaking with Brian yesterday about some of the great achievements, over at the Nation this year. Chief among them was the Peconic Land Trust purchasing of the Sugar Loaf Hill site. Very important step forward. Were you there at that event, Shanae?
I actually wasn't. You're talking about Chairman Brian Polite, correct?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes, I wasn't specifically there for that particular event, but I will say that my entire life, I have learned, watched, and then have now become one of our land defenders and our graves protection warriors for our cultural sites and our ancestral lands. And I'm very proud of my nation to have been able to make such stride, but not only stride, but I'm also very, very humbled that not only just does the Shinnecock Nation and our sister tribes in Long Island, but now many of our neighbors are beginning to really understand the importance of, one, I will say, speaking up for what's right. Sometimes you've had a lot of people in the past that have really understood the importance of, you know, what the land is, the significance of the land, but never really spoke up enough. And so you really heard us be kind of the loudest. Now you're beginning to see the support, and I think that in itself is historical.
Absolutely. Can you talk a little bit further about the idea of speaking up and how that has changed the narrative in even in just in this past year, when you think about the signs going up, the land being given back, and some of these other projects that are on the horizon for the nation right here?
Yes. You know, it is. It's historic times that we're in, and more importantly, it's our children are watching on both sides, right? And we can actually see, based upon like what's happening now, what we have watched and what we have witnessed, right, as adults and as advocates, and some people say activists or leaders or stewards of the land, our behavior is a reflection of what we have learned. And sometimes what we have learned that doesn't work, and now we're doing our best to create solutions for, or just what we know works, and that's how we try to continue. So I have to say on both sides, sometimes opposing and for, that's what we kind of see today. But what is important to really think about is what we're doing is being watched by our children, who will essentially inherit the positions that we have. And we as Indigenous peoples, our focus is to focus on that seventh generation and teach them or leave what we have for them to remain stewards of, but to make sure it's not as difficult for them as it is for us. And that's really our essential purpose as people on this earth.
You know, I can't say enough nice things about the upcoming generation, and I do think that they have, as you're saying, quite a bit to do with some of the radical change that we've been seeing. Not that the change is radical, but it's happening in a small time frame. It's, and many people are saying, geez, it's about time. Do you think that really has affected? Do the kids that you know, have they spoken to you and helped inspire or spur you in your journeys?
Yes, for sure. You know, I was just talking to one of my dear friends yesterday, who is a huge community leader in his city, and what he was talking about was that the real reward is when children communicate with you about how much you have, one, inspired them. That's the true reward. A lot of people think it's a return on your investment. A lot of people think it's the donation. They think it's a change in legislation. They think it's, you know, followers. They're measuring sometimes, you know, what that reward is. But the biggest and most, I would say, impactful and everlasting reward is when children acknowledge, you know, what you are doing for them.
Amen.
And I feel like in my community, I'll say Pentecost community, because I don't currently reside there. Right now, I'll say that there's a lot of children that are on social media. I have social media presence, and for a while I just had it, and now I really understand the power of it, and I use it as a tool, and I use it very strategically. And that in itself, because these children are on social media, I want them to see how to use social media for the greater good, as opposed to sometimes just getting caught up in the idea of social media.
Right, in the addictive attention aspect of it. I would love for you to talk a little bit more about that, just for those out there who engage on the platforms, because it's such an important topic. Social media can absolutely be a double-edged sword. How do you balance that? How do you use social media in a way that spurs change towards the greater good? And how do you keep from getting caught up in other elements?
Well, I think as people who are not acknowledged, as people who are still talked about in the past tense, and a lot of times our official titles are kind of overlooked. And it's not, I won't say, sometimes it's intentional by others, but sometimes it's not intentional. So therefore, at many times we have to hold ourselves accountable on how are we communicating about us and what are we doing to create that change. Any avenue we have, we need to use that in the best way that we can. We're not mentioned on CNN. Unless it has to do with a crisis. We're not mentioned in a lot of large media unless it has to do with tying into the mission or intention of you know, we're being tokenized, if you will.
Got it. Absolutely.
And we're beginning to see that change because the people, the viewers who have social media are asking,
right,
where is the representation? And that's because they are seeing for themselves directly from our voice and our platforms, which are usually on social media. Headlines, news headlines, all of those different kinds of things, you're seeing on social media because it's coming directly from people like myself, people from the Shinnecock Nation, and not just Shinnecock. I mean, Shinnecock is one community among thousands of communities,
right,
that are indigenous. And a lot of times people within a local area that do not see a presence of indigenous people, they think indigenous people around the world don't exist. Or people in a local area understand that there is one tribe, but they don't recognize that they are connected and interwoven through intergenerational historical relationships with other tribes of the world, especially someone, a community like the Shinnecock Nation that lives on the ocean, who has been paddling and doing commerce and trade for thousands of years prior to the town of Southampton being a thought. So these are things that people are understanding, learning, and being exposed to through social media because it's coming from our mouth.
Right.
And the demand in the larger media is happening because people are saying, where is this? How come you're not talking about this? This is important. Why did you leave out them? Or I have a contact. I know a business. I know a tribe. I know an advocate that speaks on these issues, and you need to include them.
Right.
That's why we're beginning to somewhat see the shift. I will say within the last, maybe since Standing Rock, if you will.
Yeah.
Since Standing Rock in 2016.
Well, I've been loving every minute I've only had the platform for 2 years, but I've been grateful and honored to make space for local Native Indigenous communities, as well as anyone from the area. I love what you're talking about as far as social media, the idea of we teach people how to treat us. We teach people how to engage with us, and we can reteach people how to do so and how to engage. I wanted to ask a little bit about Little Beach Harvest, because you talked about the children watching what we do and what you do at the Nation, but the entire region is going and already is watching as far as the movement forward with this cannabis facility, this multi-level facility coming to the Shinnecock Nation through Little Beach Harvest and Tilt Holdings. And I know that you're involved in that, or Muxkeetu Consulting is. How does it work? What is your connection there? And, you know, what are your thoughts? This is a huge thing.
Well, I'll say that Muxkeetu Consulting is not the tribe's business. And there is no partnership, I just have to say that.
Okay.
With Muxkeetu Consulting and the cannabis and Tilt and Connor Green.
That
is completely separate.
Got it.
So I just wanted to make sure that that's clarified.
Important.
That is my business that was founded in 2019, although I've been doing a substantial amount of consulting work for cultural and heritage preservation for the past 12 years. Now, for the tribe, I am the managing director of Little Beach Harvest, which is the Shinnecock Nation's wholly owned cannabis business. This particular business has a partnership with Tilt Holdings as an operational partner and a business partner. And we also have a partnership with Connor Green, which is our tribal economic development partner. So the three have a partnership, and we work to elevate, one, indigenous voices in cannabis, because cannabis is a sacred plant that has been used for thousands of years by indigenous people for medicinal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Today, commerce is being done at a capitalistic level with this sacred plant, but throughout the industry, there is lack of inclusion for indigenous peoples. The three that have partnered, Tilt Holdings, Hunter Green, and Little Beach Harvest, that is a wholly owned Shinnecock business, is bridging that wealth gap. We are creating, fulfilling institutional voids that have left out indigenous people from entering an industry at a level that can save our people. And so that's what I'm doing for our nation through Little Beach Harvest. And Muxkeetu Consulting is very separate. But it is definitely something that I'm extremely passionate about as a independent business owner that is now being able to create jobs for people. And those are two separate things.
Can you talk just a second about that idea, just personally, how it feels for you to be doing that, and to be able to offer people jobs and to be helping in such a substantial way to right wrongs, like you talked about, filling institutional voids, reclaiming cannabis in a way as this sacred plant that has been used by the Shinnecock and other indigenous people for thousands of years, during a moment when it is being capitalized on, as you say?
Yes, I would say that, one, it is an inherent obligation that I have to the land and the water and the people, and not just Shinnecock people and not just, you know, Native American people, but really all people, because we are all dealing with a severe crisis right now on this planet. And with that being said, there is a lot of mental illness due to the wealth gap. There is a lot of crime. There are a lot of, you know, unfair politics that are happening across the world. And this plant has proven ways of healing the individual. And if people do not have access to that plant, then how are they able to be healed? So I see it as an obligation that I have to my nation, to the future of those that we mentioned that will inherit this earth. And it does make me feel very, very, you know, very good. You know, I feel very warm about it. I feel very honored about to do this. However, the challenges that we face, you know, we're pioneering.
Right.
We are pioneering right now. Pioneering is not always as beautiful as it's told when it's finished.
Right.
When you're in the midst of it, you are literally going through sometimes with a machete.
Right.
And chopping down areas that have never been walked. Or you are going through with strategic plans on how to create combustible energy to burst through something that has been built around you to keep you contained.
Right.
So there are so many different things and avenues that there's the beauty of it, because we can easily romanticize it, but it's not easy.
No.
When you are the color of a person that has historically been called something else besides a human.
Mm.
And you're still dealing with an institution that was created not for you.
Right.
So if, as a business leader for a nation who was not allowed to speak their language based upon, one, sometimes the color of their skin and the knowledge and the indigenous wisdom that they preserve, and now people have found a way to capitalize off of this idea of us, it is still a challenge being the descendants of those people. So I like to say that I have an inherent obligation. I do say that I am very proud and honored that I am in this position, but I will say that the challenges, they are not beautiful. But it is an art. It is a skill that we have to inherit. And sometimes you're not always wanting to be the one to do it, but you don't have a choice sometimes. And I say that that's not just in cannabis. That's in everything that we do, right? That's in this conversation that I have. That is the business that I created with Moxie2 Consulting. I worked in institutions for almost 12 to 15 years as the front of the house because I was indigenous. But I was never allowed to be in the executive position. Although the executives would bring me in for executive sessions to extract the wisdom and understanding that I have.
Right.
But never wanted to pay me value for me to actually sustain myself, but would hire consulting firms who are non-Indigenous that have PhDs and expertise of the subject matter of who I am. So I said, you know what? The heck with that. I'm starting my own thing to create, to fulfill the institutional void, if you will, to pull up those that you're using because of the color of their skin and the knowledge that they contain, because you now possess that, it is in your institution. I want to create space for them to help do what they've been here to do. And so that's why I founded Moxie2 Consulting, which is a cultural and heritage preservation firm.
Amen.
And we specialize in almost anything indigenous. And that's something that I am very proud of. But again, there's still a lot of pioneering because, one, I don't have access to capital like most people do, right? Like most startup businesses do. As a indigenous, economically black-owned, Native American-owned business, the access to capital is not, there's a lack of access to capital, let's just say that, in emerging economies. And as I am pioneering, I'm doing everything I can to sustain my business at the same time of providing deliverables for clients. So today, ironically, how interestingly enough that the algorithms fall, that today is the last day of Native American Heritage Month.
Yes, mm-hmm. And it's Giving Tuesday.
I ironed that.
Isn't that crazy? I just thought about that.
I know. Before I let you go, where can people go to contact you to find out more? We will certainly be staying with you and the rest of the pioneers to, for updates and to keep the platform for the local communities and the people around us honored and grateful. Shanae Bullock, that you are one of those people. Before we go, before I play Milks, If I Ruled the World, what's a website where people can find you?
So I thank you so much, first and foremost, for having me on the show. And you can find me at www.mosketu, that's Mosketu, which means medicine, consulting.com. You can also find me on Instagram at NETOOEUSQUA, and that stands for Netui Usqua. I use social media as a resource, as a guide, as information base, but I use it to heal the world through digital media. But if you want to get in contact and you have any ways of being a part of this, I guess, movement that we all have inherited, you can go to www.mosketuconsulting.com and send an email. And I just really want to thank you so much for having me on this show at this historical day for us.
The honor is all ours. Shanae Bullock, I'm Gianna Volpe, and you are the awesome listener of WLIWFM. We know you can support any worthy organization on Giving Tuesday. All we ask is that listeners supported 88.3 WLIWFM. Be on your list. You can donate at WLIWFM.org or call 800-262-0717. We'll be back after NPR News.
Jenny wouldn't hate her figure when she's smaller, when she's bigger. She'd be kissing on the mirror, and the Wi-Fi would be quicker. Everybody would recycle, fewer cars and more bicycles. No more fighting for survival. You would hear this song on vinyl. If $1,000 pills, and age would be a source of pride. You've got beautiful laugh lines. 9 to 5 includes your nap time, and there'd be TED Talks at halftime. All this. the planet, damn it. If I
good morning. I'm Gianna Volpe on listener-supported WLIWFM, Long Island's only local NPR radio station, on this Giving Tuesday. Giving Tuesday is a global generosity movement unleashing the power of radical generosity, created in 2012 as a simple idea, a day that encourages people to do good. Since then, it has grown into a year-round global movement that inspires hundreds of millions of people to give, collaborate, and celebrate generosity. Join the movement and give each Tuesday and every day, whether it's some of your time, a donation, or the power of your voice in your local community. It's a simple idea. Whether it's making someone smile, helping a neighbor or stranger out, showing up for an issue or people we care about, or giving some of what we have to those who need our help, every act of generosity counts, and everyone has something to give. For us, that specifically means asking our listeners to show their support by giving us a donation. That's how you keep a great thing growing. Your donation can be made online to our safe and secure website, WLIWFM.org, or by phone at 800-262-0717. Deep bow to all of those making their donations right now during the Heart of the East End, the morning show here on Long Island's only local NPR radio station. Just a note, we do love to give back. It's kind of our thing here. We love to give to you, the listener of WLIW. If you are able to make a donation of $10 monthly, so a sustaining donation, or a single donation of $120, we will thank you with not only commercial-free, informative, and entertaining content 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, but we will also say thank you with a choice of gifts. You can either get a pair of our barrel coffee mugs. They're awesome. They're white, but yet the coffee never stains them. It's an amazing thing. Or our very popular WLIWFM tote bag, reusable grocery bag, catch all, carry anything you need. It's very roomy. Again, the place you can go to donate, WLIWFM.org, or you can call 800-262-0717 and stay tuned. We got lots of music to the bottom of the hour when Rebecca Adana will join us for our Tasty Tuesday at 10 segment underwritten by Southampton Arts Center. I'm Gianna Volpe. These are the Abbott Brothers, and you, whoever you are, especially if you're giving your all on this Giving Tuesday to WLIWFM.org, you're awesome, and you're listening to NPR.
It used to be a man's world, but we didn't treat it right. It used to be a man's world, but all we did was fight. I'm glad it's finally in the hands of need to see what they do with what's left of the world. Ladies, I'm sorry, but we couldn't seem to learn how to live in peace, so Rome had to burn. And we cared about clean air, but there was money to be made. And breathing's nice, but it don't compare with getting paid. It used to be a man's world, but we didn't treat it right. It used to be a man's world, but all we did was fight. I'm glad it's finally in the hands of the women and the girls. I can't wait to see what they do with what's left of the world. Please, I beg your pardon, but we got a bit confused. Some of our brothers thought our sisters were born for getting used. Then we made the assumption that's how it should be done. Then tried to excuse ourselves in the name of fun. Don't get me wrong, hope ain't fully gone. Scores of decent men built the road I'm standing on. Mistakes and ashes cover much of what the flooding didn't take. I know that we are giving you a lot to straighten out. The silver lining broke away from the thundercloud, and it took us a few thousand years to make a mess so fine. I bet y'all sort it out in less than half the time. It used to be a man's world, excess in the extreme. Oh, it used to be a man's world, but we ran out of steam. We couldn't seem to reach the grace that's born in every girl. Still, I hope that I can lend a hand in this new woman's world. Let me know if I can help out in this new woman's world.
Today is Giving Tuesday, a day to support meaningful charitable organizations. If our program means something to you, then please consider making a donation right now to listener-supported WLIWFM at WLIWFM.org or by phone at 800-262-0717. From the Abbott Brothers to Kacey Musgraves, great music heard right here on WLIWFM. Thanks to your generous donation to WLIWFM.org.
These are real things. about you.
And then there is you.
I don't wanna leave. It's all kinds of magic. It's hard to believe.
Real things, real talk, right here on the heart of the East End. We are a little more than 10 minutes away from our next conversation with someone from the community. It's the Tasty Tuesday at 10 segment underwritten by Southampton Arts Center. We'll be speaking with Rebecca Adana ahead of the third night of Hanukkah. Talk about her and Amy's episode about making latkes on this edition of The Heart, the Giving Tuesday edition. If you support Community Conversation, please make your donation right now to WLIWFM.org. You can also call 800-262-0717 if you're able to be a sustaining member at $10 a month, or a $120 donation one time. Not only will you be keeping a good thing growing here on the 88.3 section of your FM dial or online, you will also get a gift of either a pair of ceramic coffee mugs with the WLIWFM logo. Not just good for drinking coffee, as my guy demonstrated last night. He was eating ice cream out of it, and it's a really good ice cream cup as well. Or our very generously sized tote bag, not so great for eating ice cream out of, but excellent for storing ice cream in when you go to the grocery store. And, you know, you can use it again and again and again, which is great because it saves on the plastic. Going from Kacey Musgraves to Joy Williams' version of Ordinary World here on WLIWFM. A little Cat Stevens' Wild World on deck after that. Won't you be our neighbor here at WLIWFM? You already are, but please do join your neighbors. Make a donation today to listener-supported WLIWFM. No better time than now to go to WLIWFM.org or call 800-262-0717. Tell them Gianna sent you.
gone away, but I won't cry for yesterday. There's an ordinary world, somehow I have to fight. And as I try to make my way to the ordinary world, I will learn to survive.
Child girl. love you. But if you want to leave, take good care. Hope you make a lot of nice friends out there. But just remember there's a lot of bad and beware. Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world. It's hard to get by just upon a smile. It's a wild world. I'll always remember you like a child, girl. Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world. And it's hard to get by just upon a smile. Oh, baby, baby, it's a wild world. And I'll always remember you.
Today is Giving Tuesday, a day to support meaningful charitable organizations. If our programming means something to you, then please consider making a donation now to WLIWFM.org or calling 800-262-0717. You are supporting not only music like we play, news like we read, but conversations like the one we're about to have during our Tasty Tuesday segment, underwritten by Southampton Arts Center with Rebecca Adana. And I would love, Rebecca, if we could talk about for a second what a wild world it is in 2021, where we're smack dab in the middle of Hanukkah, and yet I didn't hear word one about it driving this morning. I'm still hearing about people talking about the coming of the holiday season. Aren't we in the holiday season right now?
Well, for the Jews among us, yes, we are. Our holiday season has begun. My kids were very excited that it began so early. Yeah. And you know, for many people who don't know, Hanukkah, the Jewish calendar runs slightly different than the calendar that we use here. And it pushes the date of Hanukkah around. So sometimes it falls super early and it starts in the the end of November, beginning of December. Or it can be, you know, right around Christmas, towards the end of December. So it's always kind of a wild ride.
Yeah, how does it work? Is it predetermined? Like, do we know when Hanukkah will be next year? Or is it like there's like people who get together and decide when it will be?
No, we know where it's going to be from here until forever. I believe the Jewish calendar has, I think it's 13 months. And so it always pushes the date around in our American calendar.
And
but it's always the same time within the Jewish calendar.
So why is it preferable to have Hanukkah early? Why are the kids excited?
Oh, cuz the gifts get there sooner.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like the giving season, you know, Giving Tuesday, the giving season it begins.
Yes.
Goes on and on.
It has begun.
Although traditionally Hanukkah is not a gift giving holiday. It's just that here in the States, and you know, I'm sure other places in the world, it's not like it's competing with Christmas, but it is at the same time of year as Christmas, and so it kind of took on this life of gift giving.
Yeah, you know, and it's cool because I've noticed that I was looking for Hanukkah music, and one of the tracks I came across was the Hanukkah Snowman. And I was thinking, like, how great is that? You know, because, you know, you're able to create traditions so that, you know, nobody's different. You know, there's Frosty, but then there's also the Hanukkah Snowman. I don't know much about the Hanukkah Snowman. Do you know anything about this character?
Who?
The Hanukkah Snowman. I'm gonna have to play that track one morning.
Because there's the elf on the shelf, but there's also the mensch on the bench.
Is there really? Tell me everything about the mensch on the bench.
To be honest, I wish I had more information on it. It's just I think it kind of operates the same way as the elf, is that it causes mischief in your home if you partake in the elf and or mensch part of the holiday. But I think it's just fun. It kind of does silly things around your house, and it's a way for, you know, Jewish people to kind of get in on the fun, which I always love.
And the book tells the story of the book tells the story of Mosh the Mensch, who was in the temple when Judah and the Maccabees won the war against the Greeks. There was only enough oil for one night, but who would watch over the menorah while everyone was sleeping? It was Mosh the Mensch, Rebecca.
Mosh the Mensch. You know, I did not know this story, but I am thrilled to hear this. This is amazing. I need this in my life.
That's the story behind the Mensch. On the bench.
Mosh the Mensch. I love this. Yeah. I say yes to this.
Well, I love that you're on with us. I'm glad you said yes to being on the show this morning. I'm sad that we don't have Amy with us as well. I'm still sort of working out more limited interview times and down the line, because I'm getting lots of requests. Eventually, we will bring back multiple guests in 10 minutes, but it's nice. It's nice to get to talk to you one-on-one. It's something we've never done before. So I've got to hear.
We have never done.
No, we haven't. And, you know, we haven't talked in so long. Now, I feel like it might have even been the last time that I talked with you and Amy about two Jews making food. It might have still been the before times, and we were in person, and then you went virtual, you know, and you were doing it on Zoom. Now you're at LTV. Tell me about.
Yeah, we've had the strangest ride with the show, in that it started with just a live Facebook feed, and people could, you know, talk to us while we were making food, and we were making it just in my kitchen. And it started as a joke. I mean, you know, we just thought it would be fun to cook this food and that our moms would watch us do this. And we really kind of were making it for our families, that we thought, you know, they could tune in. Our families are in Los Angeles, and we just thought it would kind of be a fun way for anybody who's curious about the food or watching us, you know, work together and laugh and just kind of carry on and do our thing as we do. We thought it would be fun for them, and it kind of picked up people. It really enjoyed watching it. It kind of, you know, picked up fans, and people liked chatting with us over on Facebook. But then, you know, with COVID and everything, it kind of shut that down. And we tried to do a few over Zoom, and that was such an experience. I couldn't hear Amy. Amy couldn't hear me. You know, with the internet, it would be cutting in and out.
Right.
I would have. You know, one person would be making something. I would have no idea. I couldn't hear her.
It's like an I Love Lucy episode, but without
exactly.
as much of the humor.
And she would say something, and I would have no reaction because I had no idea what she said.
Right.
So she would, you know, be making these comments, and it would just be to like silence, and it was terrible. It was terrible. And so we said, all right, we're going to wait. And when it finally started to open up a little bit, we did a cooking show outside for anybody who was, you know, who was watching. So we did it outside on my deck in my backyard. We were making food. And between trying to make the food and film it ourselves, because it was just us and our phones, we said we really should get this to a place where we're not trying to both film and cook and talk all at the same time. It might be more enjoyable for everybody. And so I had been to LTV, you know, a couple of times. Amy had been to LTV, and we just said they have this beautiful kitchen. It's this beautiful kitchen set. Why don't we go in there? And the people over at LTV are so lovely.
Yes, they are.
You know, Ellen, who we work with, you know, all the time, you know, just working with her, they made us feel so comfortable, and they're so lovely. Whenever we go in there, they're always very welcoming, and they love to eat the food, which is part of the joy. When you cook.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's not just that we're making these recipes. It's that we like to feed people. You know, we like to share this food with people. And a lot of people have a lot of questions about what is this food? Why are you eating it? Where did this come from? We love exploring that and talking about it. And it comes with family history. And it comes with, you know, funny stories of enjoying this food all together. And that's what makes, you know, what we do feels special to us, why we enjoy doing it, is because it's sharing, you know, our backgrounds, our history, but food that we have in common. And it's just, it's such a lovely way to kind of reach out and interact with people, which I think we're, as people, we're struggling to do coming out of this COVID
thing. Oh, yeah.
So food is a really nice way to connect.
And it has been, you know, it, getting back to the kitchen is something that so many folks, or getting into the kitchen for the first time for some, the past year plus, this pandemic that we've been experiencing has really said a lot about the importance of the hearth, the kitchen, the home, and making food. So share with us the most recent episode that you guys recorded out there, and what's in it and where we can find it.
Well, we started with Bagel Brunch, which ran on LTV. It runs in 2 week segments, so you can catch the same episode for 2 weeks in a row at various times on LTV. And then if you can't catch it at the time itself or you have the channel, you can go to either LTV's YouTube page, and there's Two Jews Making Food. You can click on our link, and whatever has been released will be there. But we also have the Two Jews Making Food YouTube channel ourselves, and our episodes will also be there, plus pass-up episodes. If you're kind of wondering where we started, all that information is on our YouTube channel as well. And if you follow along on Facebook and Instagram, you know, we're always updating with what we're making or what we're trying. We moved on to, so we did Bagel Brunch, which was super fun. I did like a charcuterie board of, you know, various things that you can have for, you know, cause people always think it's like cheese, but you can do really great things even for a brunch in the morning. Then we went on to Kugel. Kugel was mixed in. And we also did latkes. You know, latkes is, I have everyone reaching out. How do I make these latkes? I have people coming over and I've never done it before, or I've done it, but they haven't turned out, you know, as well as I wanted them to. And so we have, you know, just kind of some tips for ways of making them, you know, nice and crunchy, and the different kinds of oil. You know, we've tried out several different, you know, types. Even when we went into the kitchen at LTV, you know, I had brought, I think it was a vegetable oil, and she had brought like canola oil, and one of them cooked better than the other one.
Oh,
one of
which
them
one?
More high smoke.
Which one? Which one was it?
I believe it's the Gosh, now I have to go back and think. Amy, I'm sure, is listening to this, and she's
going,
yelling
canola!
At
it's the canola!
She brought.
Oh.
I think it was the canola oil, and I'm sure she's going to be like, Rebecca, it's not the canola oil. But one of them was the one that...
Hey, you can always watch the episode yourself on the LTV website. But
and we tried it out. So we were making, you know, one with one oil and one with the other oil, and you could see that the smoke, the amount of heat that it was able to take on mattered. So we could either fill LTV with smoke, or we could do it make it smoke less.
What are a couple of mistakes people make, or tips that we can share with folks that are listening right now?
Yes, when you are making potato latkes, I think no matter which kind of potato, sweet potato. Last night I had butternut squash sage.
Oh.
Try your best to squeeze out the juice from, like, the potato, the main mix that you're using. Make sure that it's not wet. You don't want, well, I mean, I should say I don't want a wet mix. When you put it in the oil, you don't want it to steam. You want it to crisp. So if you get rid of the, you know, some of the starch, some of the water that's in those potatoes, and a lot comes out. I use like a dishcloth. I also have cheesecloth that I've used, and you just put the potato in and you squeeze, and a lot of water will come out. Get rid of all of it, because they'll come out so crispy that way. They're delicious.
And salt.
A lot of salt. More salt than you even think you need. Do it. Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the salt, unless you have one of those, you know, a dietary restriction. In that case, be afraid.
Then you should be afraid of salt.
Yes.
Concerned about salt. But for
you're like a witch, or what is it? Like, yeah. I don't know what you like. Throw salt to ward away certain apparitions or something. In that case,
yeah. Amy, the other day, she was throwing out salt, which, you know, she says you're not supposed to do. So she was throwing it over everyone's shoulder as she was doing it to make sure that we were warding off any bad salts.
Yeah.
We did that.
Or you're a slug. If you're a slug, also, be afraid.
Yes, be very afraid. Or a leech. Leech with the.
Oh, really?
Food and leeches, yes. They go together. They fall off that way if you put salt on it. Don't ask.
Is that really true? If
yes.
I've never had
if you put salt on them, they let go.
Oh. And if you didn't know, now you know, guys.
Now you know. You just never know what you're going to learn on our show.
It's true.
We're all about the information.
It's true. And
I love to look things up. I love to know why we eat things and what we're eating. And
so why do we eat latkes?
Culture, so many of us. So that is a very good question. And I was looking that up this morning. So basically, potatoes were a very big part of the natural diet back when these were all, you know, created. And because of the story of Hanukkah, which is, you know, the oil that lasted for, you know, 8 nights, you take the food, which they were eating anyway, and then they fry it in oil as symbolism for the, you know, for this oil that went on and the luck that it provided. And it's, you know, for the good fortune, and it's the story of Hanukkah. And so much of the Jewish food that we eat, because there's even jelly donuts, which is, again, like another Hanukkah food. And so the reason for that is that it's round like the wheel.
Okay.
It had to be looked at not for its external qualities, but for what was inside. And it couldn't be enjoyed the same way twice. So there's reasons for everything that you're eating. Like Jewish people are very big into symbolism. So a lot of the food that you have means something. And there's always a story. Jews love stories. You know, they love to tell stories. They love to tell stories. You know, it's part of what makes the food and the culture so endearing.
Yeah. You know, it's not so secretly. I always wished I were Jewish. I always hoped one day I would convert. And that's just another, you just added another reason why. Because
I mean, if you'd like to convert, you know, you can, but you also can just enjoy.
Yes. Enjoy. That's what I do. I just enjoy. And that's how I am just about with everything. My favorite meal growing up, was little bit of everything. And my dad would give me a plate, not unlike a charcuterie platter, you know, some cold cuts.
Yeah.
A pickle, you know, a baby bell cheese, a little bit of soup. I love the variety. And I absolutely loved our conversation just now. All right. So latkes, applesauce or sour cream or neither or something else?
Oh my gosh. All of it.
All
like
of
said,
it.
I like it all.
Yes.
You know, I love the sweetness of the applesauce. We actually made homemade applesauce for the latke episode. It's worth it. I suggest everybody does it. I mean, you can go to the store and just buy, you know, your average applesauce, but it's worth it to make your own. There's such lovely apples at this time of year. So, you know, take advantage of the fact of what's in your grocery store, what's, you know, at your farm, you know, for those that are still open. And just enjoy it. Enjoy what is around. Enjoy the season. Enjoy it all.
Well,
not, right?
And that right back at you, Rebecca. I'm going to play John Mayer's Waiting on the World to Change. Here on WLIWFM, you don't have to wait for that change. We are so honored to be talking Hanukkah on the air right now, right here. It is Giving Tuesday. If you support conversations like these, programming like this one, thank you for your Giving Tuesday donation to WLIWFM.org or by phone at 800-262-0717. And thank you, Rebecca, from the bottom of our hearts and the heart of the East End for being on with us, talking to Jews making food. You can find it on LTV. Or you can find it on the Two Jews Making Food YouTube channel. Is it under TJMF or do you type it out? How does it work?
I think you type it all out. Two Jews Making Food Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the whole name.
Rebecca Adana, everyone, deep bow to you. Happy Hanukkah. And I hope that I get
happy
to
holidays.
See you.
Enjoy.
I can't wait. Yes, happy holidays. And I can't wait until I see you in person again. It may be quite a many day, but I'll be thinking of you and Amy both every day between now and then.
Yes, we'll get there. We'll get there together. We'll laugh along the way.
I'm Gianna Volpe. That was Rebecca Adana, and this is John Mayer on WLIWFM. A little over 10 minutes away from NPR News. And the end of the show, big thanks to Rebecca and to Shanae for being our guests on this morning's edition of The Heart of the East End. Thank you for all your donations to WLIWFM.org on this Giving Tuesday. If you're waiting to hear some local music, you won't be waiting long. We've got Carrie Carney coming up after Dr. Dogs. Oh my God, it went straight to Carrie, which is fine. But we only have 10 minutes left and I have it all planned out. Playing local music. Another reason to support WLIWFM on Giving Tuesday. The website's WLIWFM.org. Or you can call 800-262. 0717. let the world know what we mean to you and local music on 88.3. Yeah. Go online to wliwfm.org or call 800-262-0717 to show your appreciation for what we do here on WLIWFM. This Giving Tuesday, Carrie Carney on WLIWFM. Giving you two Cat Stevens track on this Giving Tuesday. One of my favorite tracks to play for you this past year has been Peace Train, and wishing all of you exactly that.
Thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun.
Today and every day.
Been smiling lately. Dreaming about the world at one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come.
Stay tuned.
On the edge of darkness, there rides the peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Now, I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be. Something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train. Ooh, ooh. Ride the
come on, the peace train. It's peace train, holy roller.
Everyone jump up on the peace train.
Ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh. Come on, the peace train. Get your bags together. Go. Your good friends too.